Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling something you sent us quite a bit of material on. It's generated a lot of talk, a lot of questions. The World Health Organization's proposed pandemic treaty, you might see it called the WHO-CA+D.
That's right. And our aim here, really just looking at the sources you've given us, is to sort of cut through the chatter. We want to unpack what this material says about the treaty's purpose, what it might change, and also the pretty significant concerns raised, things like accountability, ethics, sovereignty.
Yeah, think of it as us giving you a shortcut to the core arguments presented in these documents, moving beyond just the headlines. So let's dive right in. According to these sources, what's the basic idea? What's the main goal of this treaty?
Fundamentally, the sources state its core objective is strengthening global preparedness and response for future pandemics. The stated aim, you know, is to prevent another situation like COVID-19, avoid that scale of disruption and loss of life. It's an international agreement being worked out between WHO member states.
Okay. And what specific things, like new rules or systems, do the sources say are being proposed to actually do that?
Well, the materials talk about enhancing data sharing, getting outbreak reports standardized, and this is a big one, setting up frameworks for equitable distribution, you know, making sure vaccines, medicines, supplies get shared fairly when there's a health emergency declared.
Right. Okay. Now, here's where it gets really interesting based on what you sent us. It's not just new rules, is it? It seems to be about the WHO's actual, like, role and authority changing.
Exactly. That's a key point emphasized in the sources. A potential shift towards giving the WHO more centralized authority during pandemics, moving away from just giving advice like they mostly do now towards what the sources call binding commitments for countries that sign on.
Binding commitments. We'll definitely circle back to that. But before we get into the concerns, the sources do mention a potential upside, right? An argument for a more coordinated global approach.
Yes, absolutely. One source lays out the potential advantages pretty clearly. It suggests that, you know, a truly coordinated response could mean faster detection, quicker containment, less chaos, potentially fewer lives lost, and also things like sharing research more easily, having standard protocols everywhere, pooling resources maybe, more efficiency.
Okay. But let's pivot now, because the bulk of the discussion in these sources seems to focus on the worries, the challenges. If we're talking more central power for the WHO, these binding commitments, what are the main red flags or questions being raised in this material?
The concerns are pretty substantial. And like you said, they mostly revolve around power. Who has it and how are they accountable? One source specifically flags that the treaty, as proposed, could give the WHO unprecedented power. Power to declare pandemics, coordinate the global response, maybe even mandate specific health measures.
That phrase again, binding commitments. What if the sources suggest that means in practice for countries? What could governments actually be forced to do?
The interpretation in these sources is that it could mean countries become legally obligated to follow WHO directives during a declared emergency. And the examples given in the material, things like implementing lockdowns, enforcing quarantines, potentially even censoring what the WHO deems misinformation. And mass vaccination campaigns are mentioned, possibly even making them mandatory.
Wow. Okay, so that leads straight to another major point your sources are making, accountability. If the WHO is going to have potentially that much clout, what does the material say about how the WHO itself is held accountable?
Yeah, this is a big area of concern highlighted. The sources point out the WHO isn't set up like a national government. You know, it's not directly democratically accountable. And they focus on its funding, too, saying over 80% comes from voluntary contributions, not core member state fees. And a lot of that voluntary money, they state, comes from private foundations, some linked to big names in global health, pharmaceutical groups, NGOs. The question raised is, does that funding influence its decisions?
Your sources also bring up a really critical legal point. Liability. What happens if a government signs the WHO mandates something and it causes harm? Who's legally responsible, according to this material?
They look back at the COVID experience here. They point out that vaccine manufacturers like Pfizer and Moderna had legal immunity. Governments gave them liability shields under emergency use authorizations. So the concern raised in the sources is that this model basically shifted the legal risk for any harm onto governments and ultimately the public. They question if that could happen again under the treaty.
Which connects directly to another huge theme in these sources, national sovereignty.
Precisely. The sources argue that most countries have constitutional safeguards about handing over power, especially on health or lawmaking, to outside bodies. They say doing that usually needs clear democratic steps like parliament voting yes, or even a public referendum. And the sources suggest these steps might be getting bypassed.
And related to that, the process of negotiating this treaty right now, your sources have concerns there, too.
Yes, that's definitely mentioned. The negotiation process itself is described in the material as, well, secretive, happening without much public input or, you know, the chance for national referendums in most places.
And there's a sense of urgency mentioned.
There is. The sources highlight the WHO's push to get this signed by May 2025. They suggest there's considerable pressure on governments to agree, maybe linking it to future international standing or aid.
So just to pull some threads together from one of the sources, if this treaty is signed as it stands now, what potential actions could the WHO be empowered to take according to that particular source material?
Right. Well, that one source lists several potential powers it finds worrying. Things like declaring pandemics without needing independent checks, potentially enforcing global lockdowns or quarantines, pushing specific medical protocols, maybe compelling vaccine distribution or even mandates, and possibly overriding local laws using a health emergency as the reason. Again, that's the concern outlined in that source.
Okay. So given all these potential issues and the concerns raised about how it might be adopted or what it could allow, your sources also talk about what people or groups could do. According to the material you sent, if a government signs this without, say, proper constitutional steps, or if it seems to override basic rights, what options are laid out?
Yeah, the sources definitely suggest it's not necessarily a closed book, even if signed improperly. They outline several paths for action.
Let's walk through those. Option one seems to be legal challenges.
Yes, that's a main one discussed. The idea is challenging the treaty in court, constitutional courts, high courts, arguing either the signing process was illegal or unconstitutional, or that the treaty's content clashes with fundamental rights. They mentioned civil rights groups potentially leading this.
Okay. Another path mentioned is demanding transparency.
Right. Using things like freedom of information requests, FOI laws, trying to get the negotiation documents, internal memos out into the open, force a public debate, basically. Put sunlight on the process.
And what about just, well, public pressure?
That's emphasized, too. The power of people speaking up. Petitions, protests, getting media attention. The sources suggest this kind of public mobilization can make governments think twice, or even backtrack.
Holding elected officials accountable is another one.
Absolutely. Directly contacting your representatives, telling them your concerns, and ultimately, the sources point out, using your vote. Supporting candidates who oppose what's seen as overreach, or voting out those who supported it without proper consultation.
And lastly, bringing in the experts.
Yeah. Forming coalitions. Doctors, lawyers, scientists, people who can analyze the treaty from their professional perspectives. They can advocate for constitutional rights, ethical medical practices, and provide expert counterarguments, according to the sources.
So, wrapping up this section, what's the bottom line from your sources on the status of this treaty and challenging it?
They're pretty clear on this. The treaty isn't binding law in a country just because it's signed internationally. It has to be fully ratified properly, according to that country's own laws and constitution. And crucially, they state that even if it is ratified, it can still be challenged legally and potentially overturned later on.
Well, this has been quite the deep dive into the material you sent us. We've covered the stated aims of this proposed WHO pandemic treaty, the WHO CA plus PB. We looked at the new structures it might create, the potential benefits mentioned, but mostly, as your sources did, we focused on those significant concerns. Concerns about centralized power, accountability, national sovereignty, and the negotiation process itself.
Yeah, it really boils down to a fundamental tension highlighted in these materials, doesn't it? A question for you, the listener, to really think about. How do we as societies balance that genuine need for global health security, for working together against threats like pandemics with our core principles? Principles like national self-governance, individual freedom, and making sure power is transparent and accountable. It's a tough balancing act.
It absolutely is. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive, exploring the source material you provided. We really hope this breakdown gave you a clearer picture of the different facets of this debate based strictly on the information shared with us. Please join us again next week when we'll tackle another interesting topic based on the sources you send our way.